Cristian.
Welcome to Dungeons and Daddies, not a BDSM podcast. Most of the time, a Dungeons and Dragons podcast about four dads from our world flung into the Forgotten Realms in the quest to rescue their lost sons. My name is Freddie Wong. I play Glenn Close, the rock and roll bard of the group. This week's Glenn fact, you'll note the plum and vigor to which Glenn attempted to acquire a DJI Phantom. It's because Glenn...
Freddie's a huge nerd.
It's because Glenn puts it on his list every year for Nick to buy him, but Nick never does.
For Nick?
Yeah.
To buy him like a $500 drone?
His seventh grader?
Wait. So he, yes, he, okay.
Yeah, because he's like, hey, you know, be really chill is if you got me a drone and we could fly it. And he's, you know, he just put it on.
Where does he think Nick is going to get the money for this?
He has a very skewed idea of how, like, allowance and selling laser pointers works in, like, middle school. Like, he was like, Alan, can't you, like, sell laser pointers? He must be selling laser pointers or something. I mean, how's he getting all that weed? Am I right?
My God. It's so nice that, like, you come in every once in a while to remind us that Glenn is objectively the worst dad.
Yeah, I'm all sitting here like, oh, you know, but he's like a widower. That's sad. You're like, no, fuck Glenn. Yeah. When he's not plying his kid with illegal drugs, he's asking his kid to buy him expensive toys.
I think decriminalized drugs now.
For seventh graders, weed is legal?
Decriminalized.
It better be otherwise.
Glenn is like one of those brand ambassadors who like, I'm not asking for anything for my birthday this year. I do have an Amazon wish list. So check it out.
I think Glenn emailed his son his Christmas list while he was at Disneyland without him.
He's like, got an Amazon list.
Get a drone.
I do like that if Glenn does get a drone, you know he is not going to register it with the FAA. And he is going to fly it in illegal areas and get it confiscated almost immediately.
He's going immediately to every national park where you cannot fly drones due to the fire hazard that the batteries pose. And he's going to get those sweet shots of them Tetons, baby.
Is he going to try to do it at Disneyland, do you think?
Disneyland is a hard no-fly zone, actually, for DJI. Yeah. They coded in. A lot of these now will have the GPSs like
coded in. Oh, really?
Coded
you can
in.
Hack it.
Yeah, you just pull the GPS unit, baby.
Yeah. Yeah, you know he's going to be like BYO UFO, like just sort of like, what are those lights?
He's like, man, if I can just get a couple of these for my Insta story when we're driving through the desert, I can get these lights doing some weird stuff. I can get that UFO crowd following me. And you get that Art Bell crowd.
Fun fact about Glenn is that he has no posts on Instagram, but like a bazillion story highlights.
The one post is like a tour thing from like 4 years ago and that's it. Yeah.
Hello, my name is Matt Arnold. I play Daryl Wilson, a stay-at-home coach dad who became a barbarian upon entering the Forgotten Realms. A little dad fact about Daryl. I figured I broke my toe, and Beth's also has a broken body now, and a few of us have...
Broken body?
Now.
Broken body now.
Maybe more specific. More specific or less specific? Choose one of the two.
She's just broken.
It's been 28 years, and I've yeah. been broken the whole time.
We're all broken.
Beth, broken.
So I figured Daryl probably had a few broken bones. So Daryl's broken his arm 2 times on his left, 1 time on his right. He's broken the bone 3 times. Once when he was 9. Once when he was 20 and once when he was 36, and every single time was at the football field on the jungle gyms across the street from the football field.
The same
every
place,
single age was always he's
oh
always
gosh.
Doing something stupid, always trying to show off.
36?
Well, that
how
was
old is, how
of
old
course
is
he brought the 36 was like last year.
Okay.
Like he broke his bone while trying to show off to Grant. Like he
broke
still got
his bone. What
broke his
bone?
Arm? He's, oh, okay. His arm. He was like, I still got it in me. I can still do this jungle gym checklist. He's trying to do. You know what it is? I would always, as a kid, try to do that cool way of flipping off a tree they did in Robin Hood.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah.
Prince of Thieves, Kevin Costner. He would put his arms down and then, like, flip off of it. He does that.
And it breaks
and
his
breaks
arm
every single time he's done it. So never,
he's
never
persistent.
Resorted.
You got to give him that.
He's persistent. He's just a fun-loving guy, you know?
Matt brings up a very interesting and weird thing when you're, like, Daryl's 36.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's only 3 years older than me. I'm 33 going
on
34.
Look how accomplished he is.
So, but it's weird, like... Well, I don't think about how old the dads are, right? Like
they just are dad age.
It's just there's just dad age. Any dad, it's like any dad is 20 years older than me.
Yeah.
Right? It doesn't matter, right?
Yeah.
But it's weird to think of like, yeah, Henry's probably like only like a couple years older than me, which is very I'm like he's just a man. He's just a 38-year-old man. Like this is very upsetting.
You have lots of friends who are dads, including one in here.
Yeah, but like
oh wow.
Yeah, right?
Oh, my God.
And the second you had a kid, you immediately looked 20 years older than me.
They walk among us.
They walk among us.
I feel weirdly...
I know what you mean.
I feel the same way about the characters on Seinfeld. I've accepted that I'm older than the people in Friends, but as far as I'm concerned, like, I watched Seinfeld when I was in middle school, so they will always be like, how much older they were than me in middle school when I saw the show. Hey, everyone. You might be wondering, who's this voice you're listening to? I'm Will Campos, and I play Henry Oak, Birkenstock rockin', crunchy, munchy, granola, druid, hippie, nature, druid dad on this podcast, Dungeons and Daddies. Fun fact about Will is that every time I go to do Henry's little run of crunchy, munchy, whatever, I forget it. I don't
it's been
know
a year,
how.
Will.
I think I say it different every single time.
It's like, really
it's just
good,
a
though.
Word
I, no,
salad.
It, like, yeah, no, the word salad, it's tossed nicely. Like, I every time I really buy it.
Tossed word salad and scrambled eggs. All right.
Frasier will be older than everyone forever.
Yes. Frasier is daddy.
And Niles is daddy.
Can we please come up with a Frasier one shot and we can all play Frasier?
There's definitely an RPG system called Toss Salad and Scrambled Eggs.
Wait, really?
Yeah. I'm not joking.
Yeah. I would play Eddie.
Mandatory.
It's just the Frasier verse and we're all different like multiverse incarnations of Frasier.
I could probably off the dome be like each one of you who you are in Frasier.
Do it right now.
Yeah, right now. Anthony, Roz, Nat. That's just
damn
a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Fucking great.
Freddie is...
See? I'm unclassifiable,
Freddie's
baby.
Martin. He's got like a Martin energy
Martin.
For
yeah.
sure.
Freddie's not Martin.
Freddie's got that grumpy Martin energy.
Yeah.
I don't know what this means.
Freddie's Martin having a bad day.
Matt is the Frasier of the podcast. I hate to admit it. I'm the Niles because I'm the more exaggerated, annoying version of Matt. And then... I was going to be like, Beth is Eddie. Like, she's the fan favorite. Eddie got more fan mail than anyone else on Frasier.
And it made Frasier very upset. I lied. It's actually called Boss Dragons and Scrambled Eggs.
Yeah.
The Frasier RPG. Literally the first sentence of the rules is, oh baby, I hear adventure calling.
That is extremely good. I'm very upset. Henry's dad fact this week is that everything Henry cooks is a la Henry. Like whenever he makes it, it's like, hey, here's mac and cheese a la Henry.
Does he do like a Henri a la Henri?
If it's French, if he does, he would never make escargot. Yeah, if he has like a vegan escargot, that's like, I don't know what the fuck, it's like tempeh with butter, like, you know.
At a certain point, it's just like, isn't that just like tofu with a shitload of butter?
It's tofu, no, with margarine, because it's not butter either.
Oh, you're right,
vegan.
Shit.
And it's
so just wet
escargot
tofu.
A la Henri. But
so it's just wet tofu, with seashells.
Wet tofu that looks like a snail sounds appetizing.
Wet tofu that looks like a snail. If he's making something that already has an a la in it, there can go a couple different ways. Like if he was going to make vegan chicken a la King, it'd be vegan chicken a la King a la Henry.
Ugh.
But if he was making apple pie a la Mode and he made the apple pie, it'd be apple pie a la Henry a la Mode. Unless
right, I'm done.
He
done.
Also made the ice cream, in which case it would be apple pie a la Henry, a la Mode, a la Henry.
Oh,
and because Henry made it, it's a la a lot of germs because he never washed his fucking hands.
Yeah, I have stated canonically. How dare you, sir? I have stated canonically on this podcast that Henry Oak washes his hands before he cooks food. It's one of the seven times he washes his hands. I yield the remainder of my time.
Thank you. We're doing a roll call here. Hi, my name is Beth May, and I play Ron Stampler, emotionally detached stepfather and rogue. Fun fact about Ron this week is that, like many dads actually, Ron's signature, his legal signature, looks absolutely nothing the fuck like his actual name. It just maybe like an R that could be a K, and then a couple of...
like hard squiggles.
A couple of hard squiggles. Hard heart monitor squiggles, and that's his signature.
How hard is Ron's signature to forge? Like,
it's extremely easy. I really? I feel like if anything, Ron forges his signature off of Terry's. Like Terry Jr. is so good at forging Ron's signature that's how Ron learned
it's
how
like
to
do it. Like when Ron signs a permission slip, the teacher's like, you didn't sign this. And he's like, oh shit, I gotta get Terry to sign my signature so it looks more like my
previously,
signature.
Previously, I think he just wrote the word Ron and that was it. But yeah.
Hi, I'm Anthony Birch. I'm your dad.
Hi.
Hi, Anthony.
Sorry, who are you again?
I'm your dad. I'm your father.
I'm mad at dad today.
Why are you mad at dad?
He took away one of our favorite toys.
Oh, Scam Likely?
Scam Likely.
Yeah, that's grown up, baby. You enjoy a thing for a while, and then life just takes it from you. You got to deal with the
not
void.
Happy.
Your new toy is the Scam Likely-shaped hole in your heart.
Anthony's like gritty God of War dad these days. You know, he's going to like make us kill a deer in front of him, you know? It's life, boy.
Pretty much.
Yep.
Welcome to our fun Dungeons & Dragons podcast, where if I see you like somebody too much, I will get rid of them. So, to summarize what you were all doing last time, you were basically on the march to Castle Ravenloft. So you basically saw that it's, you know, connected to this mountain range surrounding it by one little land bridge, and otherwise it's sort of this island in the center of this massive canyon of mountain ranges and stuff. And so you convince Scam Likely to go in and get the Orb of Dragon Kind. So
how the fuck did they not call it a Dragon Ball? Infuriating.
Because then you want to find six more.
And bring Scam Likely back to life?
Yeah. Oh, that'd be great. How do we extend
the
life?
That's how we extend the podcast.
Yeah.
Guys, we got to bring Scam back to life. Yeah. We're going to have to go to the seven continents of the Forgotten Realms to get a Dragon Ball.
Before you go into the castle. Like, just walk away from the castle with all the mercenaries.
I don't know. I want to meet Mark Likely.
Yeah. Is he Mark Likely? I guess he's his brother, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, you sent Scam Likely in to negotiate for the Orb of Dragonkind, or to scam the Orb of Dragonkind. He went in, managed to successfully scam it out of their hands, but on his way out, they realized that he was tricking them. He tried to escape on the back of the gold dragon that defends Castle Ravenloft, and as he began to fly away, a beam of purple energy shot out from the tallest tower in the castle, hit him straight through the head, and he fell down,
dead now,
what? No, he's dead.
Oh.
The problem is, a character named Scam Likely, I'll never be able to actually conclusively prove that he's dead.
That's the greatest scam of all.
Yeah. But it sure seems like he died.
Yeah, because imagine if Tupac's name was like,
never die.
Never die. My name is when you least expect it.
Yeah, my name is Death Faker. It's like, well, shit. My rap name's Death Faker. Do you think he died in that car crash? Actually, you know, it's funny. His name...
The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was calling me three times a day and me never answering.
Basically, where you're at right now is you just saw Scam Likely die. The golden dragon he was riding is sort of just flapping its wings. They're kind of unsure what to do because the person who's holding his control orb just died. So that control is...
So it's like the controller's unplugged.
Yeah, exactly. And it's sort of waiting. It's sort of everything's just sort of on an animation that's looping. Also, you saw through the DJI drone that there is
another sponsorship that we just gave away.
Just free to the wind. DJI, you know my Twitter.
I'm instantly piloting that drone straight up to where the laser bolt came from.
Great. Ooh. Okay, I like that.
And I'm like shaking. I'm just like, I still can't believe Scam died. Like, we got to see what shot him.
You don't want to be shaking with the drone because it's real fidgety.
Really fragile.
You know what I mean?
It is. It's moving like weird, like loopy loops as getting there. But also, I'm like trying to avoid
you
it.
You can see Daryl's rage and sorrow in the shaky arc of the DJI
the quadcopter as it rises in the air.
You see in the tallest parapet, I guess, of the castle, the same image that you saw briefly when Scam Likely turned around and showed you the image that was being displayed by the projector in the foyer. You see the three people in purple robes, and then behind a sort of blue magical barrier, you see your children. And the tallest of the purple robes is holding his hand outstretched, and purple smoke is coming from it.
Wait, so is he... Oh, so he's that. This is not an image. This is like we're seeing. This is where they're recording themselves from.
As far as you can tell, that is them.
That's them. Okay, it's not on the screen or something.
Yeah, I mean, basically, yeah. You would be also be able to see the webcam. Essentially, there's a webcam on one end.
Wait, is there a webcam?
It's literally a webcam.
Wait, what?
Guys,
it's a webcam?
The purple robe dudes are up there with a webcam and our children.
They've got tech.
They got tech.
That is the most threatening sentence I've ever heard in my entire life. That is the rowdiest, most horrible sentence anybody's ever said on this podcast.
Cut it out. Cut
Wait, what did I say?
No, it's not your fault. You just said the purple guys are up there with our kids in a webcam.
Yeah, well, you put them there, Anthony. I'm just describing what I saw.
Wait, can we just look closer at this magical barrier, this blue thing? Is there anything specific about it? What are the kids doing back there? Like,
So the kids are sitting, looking alternately bored and like kind of scared, depending on the child. Like, I think Lark and Sparrow are probably. Which one's the Love Wolf? The Love Wolf one is like scared. The crazy one is like bouncing in his seat. Essentially, Grant is just looking into the middle distance because his soul is dead. Terry Jr. Terry Jr. is just very depressed looking, and Nick Close is kind of like bored and trying to crane his head around and see what the dude just did and the purple guy just shot at and all that kind of stuff.
Can I see, does Grant have the orb with him?
So when he got abducted by the Purple Robes, you gave him the orb and told him to hide it, right?
Yes.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to roll sleight of hand on him. And if he can beat the Purple Robes, then retroactively we'll say that he managed to hide it from them permanently.
Hot dice.
But we wouldn't know.
Correct. You wouldn't know, but I will know.
Yes.
Okay.
Because if he did hide it from them, you wouldn't be able to see it because he'd be hiding it.
Yeah, that's true. I was thinking maybe he's like bouncing around, like, you know, like,
like he's fucking Great Escape. Like he's Steve like McQueen in The Great Escape, just like throwing it at the fucking ground.
He's doing contact juggling with it.
He's like, this is my contact juggling orb, and you guys can't take it away from me. I'm like, how does, forsooth, look how it feels to float in the air.
So I know if they found it or not.
Okay. So we don't. Okay. Well, I said what I said to everybody else. That's what I'm seeing, everybody.
Oh, guys, we're in a gym jam here. It just hit me that not only did we lose Scam Blackley, we also lost the badass commander of the mercenary army.
Also
dead.
As far as the mercenaries are concerned, they saw their leader from behind walk into this thing, attempt to ride a dragon, and die.
Well, they also saw him rip off his mustache and do a really weird voice. They're like, did he go insane?
Yeah.
Anthony, I want to do a vibe check on the mercenaries. How are they doing?
Okay, roll perception.
Roll vibe check.
I mean, they better be good because they're professionals.
I got a natural one on that.
Oh, could be anything.
Guys, I can tell you what the vibe is. Hello, Mr. Mustache.
Yeah, what's up?
Okay, well, I guess I have to be the leader of the mercenaries now, huh? And then also, like, the scam master.
Heavy weighs the mustache.
It does. It does weigh heavy. So I'm going to say, your vibe is good, everybody. Good vibes. Thank you.
Why don't you roll persuasion?
That's an advantage roll, certainly.
Sure.
With the mustache.
Oh, true. I got a 15, and with a +0 for persuasion, that means a 15 total.
All right. I feel like that'll do it.
So they've just accepted Ron as their new commander because of his alpha mustache.
Yeah,
he's just
I feel like
the vibe check.
You probably said that stuff. You told them what the answer to their own vibe check is, and then the mustache probably, like, the mustache, like, saluted, like, it was saying goodbye to Scam Likely. Like, the tendril of the mustache just, like to the center of it, so it looks like it's saluting Scam Likely's passing.
Yeah.
And the bad dogs around you sort of see that, and they do the same thing, and they salute Scam Likely, or I guess to them, Benedict Cabbage Patch, but crazy and with no mustache. And they look to you, and they say, what do we do, sir?
Well, really quickly, I just want to canonically reestablish that what Ron looks like right now is a man with a double mustache that's kind of like murkily brown and black with no pants, but only boxers that say cool guy on them.
It's kind of like the beginning of Breaking Bad.
Yeah. And then, he's only got hair on one leg.
Just like Breaking Bad.
And a huge dick. No, that's fine. It's okay. He doesn't have to have a huge.
But he does.
But
he
does.
He doesn't have to, but he sure does.
Yeah. That was a gift from God, not a requirement. Okay. So, okay. Bad dogs. First things first. Sit. Stay. Good dogs. Okay. Guys. Hey, guys. So, like,
what's up, Ron?
Hi.
Are you talking to us or the bad dogs right now?
I'm sorry. No, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. I mean, the dad. You like the dog? Not
okay.
No.
Yeah. What's up?
Okay.
It seems like you've really commanded the respect of these bad dogs.
I really have, but the whole, like, commanding respect versus commanding an army thing, that's where I'm experiencing some difficulty.
Mm-hmm. I bet you it's not that different.
Okay.
First of all, I just want to say, Ron, the first person you have to command respect from is yourself. So, you know, I want you to know that we respect you, and you should respect you, too.
Wow.
And, you know, you gotta start from within, you know? So I just wanted to put that out there, you know, just, you know, as a thing. Maybe you could make, like, a Battlefield promotion and we could see, like, there. I'm sure he had a number two that, you know.
Peyton is immediately like, somebody say promotion, somebody say number two. Hello. I could be your second in command.
Yeah, let's see. I guess, Daryl, Glenn, Henry, and Peyton, you guys are all promoted to General Colonel.
Yes.
I walk over straight to Payne and I go, not you, little buddy.
What?
Yeah, you remember what you did to Glenn?
I was already punished for that, I believe. You took the knife. That is a separate occasion. It's a new day, baby.
Guys, now that I have...
You're talking to a general colonel, thank you.
And I just want to be clear, he did slash up my Achilles tendon, but he is right, double jeopardy. If we start doing that, then who knows what shambles of a legal system we'll have left.
Well, guys, now that we're like, you're really the head of the crew, so to speak, I actually have an idea.
Let's hear it.
So, we've been able to communicate with these hooded fellas when we were asleep, and they couldn't do anything really to hurt us when we were asleep. I was wondering if we fall asleep right now, and then we get the bad dogs to be watchdogs, and then while we're asleep, maybe we use that gun to, compel them to say something that lets us know what they're after, besides our kids or...
So, Ron, you're saying, a real Nightmare on Elm Street 3 dream warriors.
Yeah. Do we bring the gun into...
Can you bring the gun into the dream?
Well, I mean...
And also, they could just kick us out of the dream.
They did do that one time.
I was going to say we could, at the very least, again, just in case everybody... The kids are in that tower, and they shot a sniper bolt or something at us. We could also, write a note on the drone and fly it up to the window and be like, yo, so, fucking give us the kids.
You up?
Yeah, you up? You need to talk to them.
What would you do if I was here right now?
Pics, please.
That's a good idea. Bring the drone back.
Boom.
All right, so the drone goes back to you.
All right, get a pen.
So what is the note you were going to write on this drone?
Should we tell them we have a whole army outside and we want our kids back, no trouble?
And then also, you can talk. Because we can hear them, but they just can't hear us.
Oh, yeah, they can talk to the drone.
Okay. Oh, they can talk to the drone?
Oh, yeah. The drone's got
all right,
audio,
we've got to be really snappy about the language here so that we can just sort of convince them, but also it's not too much of a challenge to read. So let me get the little post-it note here or something.
Okay, here you go, Ron.
Or actually, I'll attach one of my business cards to it. So I'm going to write, you up, talk to drone, bitch. What else were we going to
do? We want our kids back.
Oh, kids back.
We got
with an extra
army.
K. Big, big army. Smiley face with tongue out. Eggplant emoji.
So you drew an eggplant emoji.
Yeah.
The drone just flies up to the window, and you see the shortest of the three purple robes go like,
oh, shit. They got a phantom.
And Nick is in the back being like, my dad's here.
Nick's like, my dad. It's literally the scene from Die Hard was like, only my dad can make somebody that irritated. What's he doing? His job.
Now I have a DJI Phantom. So
the shortest one comes up to your drone and takes the note, and you can hear them mumbling those.
Eggplant emoji.
It reaches into its cloak and pulls out a stone. It licks the stone, sticks it on top of the drone, and then does a go back kind of motion, like a pushing away with
can
his hands
really
kind of motion.
Can we not see under this hood with the drone?
Yeah, no, you can't. It's magical.
It's a magic hood.
It's a magical dark robe.
He really pulls it
down.
So there's
like a rock attached to it?
No,
now?
It's like a hoodie, and he's like pulling this, pulling the...
Yeah, so he's a tiny little nose poke.
Yeah. It's like Kenny from South Park, yeah. He attached a rock to it and is now beckoning the drone essentially to go away.
Guys, this could be a trap. Maybe he put some kind of bomb on it.
They don't want to kill us.
That's
whole
true.
Thing's been about they were like, I'm pretty sure...
Hey, Doug?
They're from our...
Go and receive the drone in that empty field over there behind us.
God.
I'll do the orders. Thank you very much.
Oh, okay. Sure. Oh.
Sorry, General Colonel? Yeah?
Doug, just do what Glenn said, please.
All right, I fly the drone over and land it kind of 100 feet from all of us so Doug can go get the
we really get a rock. Henry's like, Doug, stay right there. This is absurd. Henry goes up to the drone.
Okay. So Doug's like, well, I need the credit. All right.
All right, you're still going to get course credit. Don't worry about it.
Doug, I'm disappointed in you. They made Henry go do that.
I wanted to do it. But you're just going to investigate this. So basically, the rock is on there. So why don't you roll Arcana?
Arcana.
Right when he's about to pick it up, I boom, I start the drone and move it away from him a little bit.
Very funny, Daryl. It's hilarious.
Hey, careful, man. Those things can cut you real bad.
Arcana.
Can they really?
Yeah.
Do not be on the drone.
An 11 Arcana.
Okay, that's enough. So it is a speaking stone, which is basically a fantasy walkie-talkie.
Oh.
Hey, it's funny because we were talking about sending a walkie-talkie, but they just sent the walkie-talkie instead. It's great.
All right, I pick it up and I say, hello. I say, yellow.
So you hear one of the purple robes go,
Henry.
Hey, this is, you got Henry. Who's this?
This is the author of all your pain.
It's Blofeld?
Shit.
I should come up with something that's not from Spectre. It's
hard, I know. Yeah. Spectre left such
what a classic.
Cultural
yeah. What a classic.
It's me. It's one of the guys with the purple robes.
Oh, hey, yeah. So,
I am your sons.
Hey, well, we've got a big army out here. So what we were thinking is, let's just give us our sons back and we won't have to invade your castle. We just disabled your big dragon. Unfortunately, our good friend Scam likely, you know, fell to what appears to be his death, question mark. Maybe, maybe not. Who knows? He could come back at some point. But it seems like this dragon was kind of your big centerpiece, and he doesn't seem to be doing that much right now. So why don't you just give us our kids back, and we can pretend this whole thing never happened, and we can all call it a day.
Henry, Henry, Henry. The dragon is not to protect us. The dragon is to dissuade attack. We don't need a dragon to protect us. Trust me. But I'm glad you're here, because all we really wanted to do was talk. Ideally, face-to-face, but this can do, especially if you want to bring the drone back.
We didn't come face-to-face.
Why'd you guys come out here and talk to us face-to-face?
No, you can come to us.
You could come to us, too,
yeah,
though.
But we came all this way over here.
We've come farther to you. Yeah. We were in a completely different realm. So, like, you know, I just want to say, like...
So what's a couple more steps?
Okay, can we split the difference between, I don't know, Los Feliz and Inglewood, and just say that we can meet in downtown or mid-city?
God. Why don't you actually roll persuasion? Because the idea of both of you meeting at a sort of center point is not terrible. And you have a really cool dramatic bridge.
In downtown LA.
In downtown LA. That's another 15 plus persuasion of 0, which means 15.
All right. 15 was what it was going to take. The robe says,
okay, so we could go to the center of that bridge and talk it out.
Yeah, center of the bridge, huh? Wait, hold on 1 second. And then I like cover the rock thinking that that's going to do anything. I'm like,
sure.
What do you guys think? Should we meet them up in the center? It seems better than meeting them in the castle, right?
Well, yeah, it's definitely better than the castle. The only thing I'm scared of is Aaron said something about the more we know. Like, now I'm kind of worried that they said that all they want to do is talk. Because, like, whatever the bad guys want to do is usually bad. And, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of Aaron, as you know. I think she cheated us, if I were to be frank. But she did warn us and said the more we know, the worse it would be. So I'm just like,
what if one of us is listening?
Shh. Hey, we're going to get right back to you, okay? Bye. How do I turn this off?
You don't. It just
always speaks?
No, that doesn't make any sense. That would be useless as an item. Yeah, you just think that you don't want it to be on anymore, and then
okay,
it's not on.
Okay, well,
anymore.
Yeah, okay, I'm going to do that. And we'll call you right back.
All right, hit me
up. I quickly, like, dig a hole in the ground, and I shove it in there and put dirt on top of it.
Good call, good call. Nice. Okay.
Or alternately, we give to Doug, and just like, Doug, just blow on this.
It's like, wait. You can hear what they're saying.
We could do, like, two of us talk, and then two of us sneak. Do you know what I mean? Like,
save the kid.
Well, we do have... We have the Dimmadome sword, and we could fashion together a zip line, and two people could go zip into the castle.
We could try to check if Grant has the orb.
How will we do that?
Well, we could fly the drone up there and have him, like, you know, the drone says, like, do you have the orb? And he sees the drone, he can nod or shake his head.
Ooh. Oh, and you could do that while we're distracting them by talking to them.
Because the only thing I'm concerned about is if they did find it, if I was them and I found the orb, I'd, like, throw it in, like, a chasm or, like, in lava. So
oh,
then I
have
teleport.
An idea. Here's an idea as well.
Doug could pilot the drone there while
Doug
we
could
meet them.
Doug could pilot the drone and, you know, Peyton could help. They could, you know, that could be, like, an intern task that they work on together.
Yeah,
because I feel like they need more teamwork. But I was going
to
say...
Guys, I don't want Peyton with Doug. Peyton's already seems to be going through some things, and he did... Are we all just thinking he slashed Glenn and Doug
yeah,
murdered
a
man?
Point.
I've really lost track of what is and isn't acceptable for children to do in this world. I'm just going to put that out there. You know,
what he did was wrong. That's all I'm saying. Peyton, you heard me. What you did was wrong.
I wasn't actually going to, like, injure him.
You did just, injure him.
It gave him a little spook. A little fun spook. And you know what? He didn't hiccup anymore. I'm basically a doctor.
I'm what passes for a doctor in this world.
I'm going to bring this back on subject for a second. What we could also do, hear me out, what if we go talk to them, but like in a little story called The Odyssey, wherein Odysseus and his men did not want to hear what the sirens had to say, we could plug our ears and pretend that we know what they're saying.
If there's anything dads are good at, it's pretending they're listening.
Yeah. Yes, dear. Yes, dear.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Ron puts the Walkman on.
Oh, that's right. Ron's got a Walkman.
Ron's got a Walkman. I've got my AirPods. we could just plug our ears up. And then my thought is we just pretend like we're listening to what they're saying. And meanwhile, you're figuring out if Grant's got that thing.
Well, Doug will do, because I think if
Doug, yes, if they see you flying a drone, they're going to
be
like,
yeah, I think
like,
if all of us aren't on the bridge, they're going to wonder
so
why
we
all
have
of us
our
on the
stone
bridge.
In the car. We'll write a note to Doug that says, like, hey, Grant, like, if you have the stone, use it. Give him instructions on how to use it.
Yes. And say, everyone hold on to the stone. And then,
oh, shit. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Yeah.
All right. Well, this seems like half a plan.
Now, hold on. If it doesn't work, what then? Because there's a chance that they've discovered.
Then what we'll do is just whatever we say, we go, we totally hear you. We totally understand. We're going to go back and talk about it more.
We got to ask our wives.
Yeah, I got to ask the old ball and chain. Well, I'm not going to say that about Mercedes O'Garcia, but like, you know, like, we got to check. Like, it's a partnership.
Yeah, that's my beautiful, beautiful ball and chain.
I have to, yes, you know.
So here's what it'll be. If it's a no, the drone flies out. And like, we can see it. They'll make a signal with the drone. So we'll know that they don't have it. And that'll be our cue to be like, we got to regroup.
Or we can do, hey, Peyton.
Yeah, what's up?
So I'm still disappointed in you slashing him. But here's a job.
I did the thing.
Here's a job for you, buddy.
We agreed to it.
You were hearing about what we're going to talk about, the drone you're going to send up,
of
right?
Of course I was eavesdropping. Yes, of course.
Of course, of course. I know you were. So if it's a yes.
If it's a yes, the kids can just honk the horn in the van, because that's where the thing is. If it's yes, they're going to teleport out of there.
Okay, and if it's a no.
If it's a no, Peyton goes, I made a boom boom in my pants.
I am not under no circumstance. I am dignity.
Peyton, if you say that, though, we've got an out. That's my. Although, how are we going to hear Peyton if our ears are?
No, he's just going to scream. Give me. What's your best animal impression? You can do that as loud as you can.
Okay. It doesn't get very loud.
What's the loudest animal impression you can do?
The loudest animal impression?
Can anybody in this army just do a call or a signal? So that means no.
They all start barking.
Yeah.
If it's a no, we'll hear barking from over the hills. Nobody will be suspicious. It'll be like an animal bark.
We have our ears plugged.
Oh, shit.
That's my only problem with this plan.
Henry, that's why you're here, man. I would have just been there on the bridge, be like, where's the signal?
If it's a no, the drone just buzzes us.
Yeah, if the drone flies overhead. Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, and if it's a yes, it'll just stay there and they can keep the drone. I guess they can keep the drone.
Ron, what do you think?
I agree with this plan because I invented it and I'm your commander. And
that's a fucking leader.
I'm actually going to bring my skip it weapon with me. Just in case things go sour.
Yeah, I'm bringing my weapons, obviously.
In another Odyssey adjacent sort of move, we could make a giant horse. And then all the dogs could be in the horse. And then we're like, here's a horse. And they're like, oh, I'm going to look inside this horse. And then that's how we get them.
Ron, that's actually a pretty good idea. If the conversation seems like it's going poorly, say that we do have a big ceremonial wooden horse for them.
Yeah.
At the very least, it's just like a starting point for the negotiation. Just like a thank you from us to them. That's like a good backup plan for sure. Who knows?
Absolutely.
Also, like, if they know, because here's the thing, they have a webcam. So, like, also, their response to that, if they say, like, that sounds cool, it's like, okay, they're Forgotten Realms. But they're like, hey, that's the Trojan horse. They're like, they're from our world. Right?
Interesting point.
That's
true.
If they know what it is.
If somebody sounds off in the comments like, yo, that's a reference from Gladiator.
That's my favorite part of Gladiator.
All right. Should we do this?
Explain this whole plan to me again, beat by beat.
It's a simple plan, Anthony.
Yeah.
Dumb fuck.
Let me just see if I've got this straight, gentlemen. The plan is to drink till the pain's over, but what's worse? The plan is we go up to talk to them. Meanwhile, Doug is flying a drone up to the tower to see if, what's your son's name again?
Grant.
I knew that. Yeah, Grant.
Classic dad move, forgetting your kids' friends' names.
If Daryl Jr. has the teleportation orb. And meanwhile, we're distracting the rogue guys, and we've got our ears plugged in case they have magic juju they want to run us by talking to us and making us learn more about them. Because as our good friend Aaron O'Neill pointed out, that could be a thing that they try to do. While that's going on, we're finding out the situation with the teleportation orb. If the teleportation orb is there, they're going to beam back to the van. If it's not, the drone does a loop-de-loop. And we know it's time to get out of there. We say whatever's going on. Look, we're going to need to talk to our wives first, you know, which is kind of my move when I'm car shopping, you know? And then they go, uh-oh.
Or at a timeshare presentation.
I got to talk to the missus first. So we're going to say that to them and then just peace back to the van.
I just want to clarify that for me, it's not our good friend, Aaron O'Neill. It's our partner who was very rude and frankly, I'm not a big fan of.
Nobody holds just, a grudge like
you know,
Daryl.
Just making sure. Just Daryl, make sure
I'm just
going
to put this out there and I'm not accusing you of anything, but I just want to say if Aaron O'Neill was a man, would you be calling her like assertive and like, you know, a hard bargainer?
I think if Aaron O'Neill was a man, you wouldn't have given half of our money for no reason. I think somebody was feeling a little bit patronizing. That's all
I
I'm
don't.
Say.
Well, I that's neither here nor
throw
there.
Him back. Throw him back.
Paid like get him.
Doug, do you think you can handle this drone?
I mean, I guess I'll find out pretty quick, huh?
How good are you at?
I've never seen anything like this before in my life.
Doug, get some practice laps.
Okay,
in here.
So he's gonna roll the practice with it. Oh wow, okay, he actually did okay on that
just
one.
Just natural?
No, it was a 17. So apparently he's like, okay, well, he didn't crash it basically. If he got less than 15, I was gonna say he crashed it. but no, he didn't crash it, so he's gonna roll again. Basically, every time he succeeds at one of these rolls, he's gonna get a +1 to his actual like for doing it on the night.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Look at Anthony coming up with these mechanics off the
seven, as so Doug's practicing, go. Another thing to point out, Dads, is should one of us listen?
Oh.
What if we brought Peyton to be our interpreter?
But then we would have to listen. Oh, Peyton may not be bad. I don't know.
I don't feel like I want to know.
I want to trust, but if somebody
Peyton
could
is
listen,
immediately like, put me a coach.
If somebody could listen to it and
this.
Could help us, just let us know if we should know what was said or not.
That requires someone with some like verbal skills, you know?
It's your boy. Me, Peyton, smartest guy you know. I talk all the time.
I'm kind of like, if Peyton knows, is that going to make them more powerful? Do you know what I mean?
I can't budge why I would.
Well, it's a matter of how seriously we take whatever he says.
That's true.
And
that's
so, true. As a commander, I say, Peyton, is this something you'd be interested in doing? Is listening and then knowing what they say for realsies?
Peyton salutes you and goes, put me in coach. I'm a great listener. I'm a great communicator. You all know that.
We don't need you to be good at communicating. That's one of the worst skills a leader could have. So, yeah, if you just know, if you're good at knowing, then we'll be good at not knowing.
So what I'll do is, if it feels like they're saying something important, I'll, like, pull my ears to, like, say, like, hey, unclog your ears, listen to what they're saying. And if what they're saying seems like it's scary and it might be bad, I'll just sort of shake my head, like, really, really, really hard and be like, no, don't listen.
I don't know.
Maybe I'll point the opposite direction.
I don't know about this one, guys.
Well,
I don't know
if you want me to do something more subtle? I can do something more subtle.
I think it's not.
I'll scratch my nose.
Scratching your nose is good. Scratch your nose if you think it's something we shouldn't listen to.
I'll scratch my nose because it smells
don't
fishy.
Don't nose. Like,
yes. I don't nose if you
but
should listen
to
this.
But it's also just when we're done, he can just brief us on what was said, whether or not we should know.
Yes, that's
it.
True. Yeah.
He doesn't even have, we don't have to change listening or not
yeah,
listening.
Yeah, but I mean, I will be summarizing versus saying you hearing it from the horse's mouth.
Yeah.
That's right. The other part of our plan was if things go awry, we say that we have a wooden horse to offer.
Yeah.
That's right, yep, okay.
Peyton, if you think that we need to bring out the horse gun, so to speak...
you have a horse gun?
Boy, don't we. Do not.
That's Ron's slang for his fucking rig.
Maybe just do a quick little gallop motion with your front two paws.
Okay. I can do that. No problem.
Your paws.
Yeah, you might say my hands.
Yeah.
So you want me to gallop with my hands?
Yeah, just a quick little gallop. There you go. Yep. Do that again once more for the podcast audience here.
So I'm putting my hands out in front of me like a T-Rex. Oh, just the motion? Yeah, that'll go well.
Just
wow.
Like that.
That's great.
It's like you're a T-Rex who's trying to swat a fly.
My role in talking to the robed figures while we are on the bridge is I'm going to respond with dialogue that make it seem like I am listening and responding to what they're saying, but actually I am just listening to the walk.
Non-committal, yeah.
Exactly.
Yes.
So Doug asked, are you setting me up with the drone? Is the drone going to have a message on it?
Yeah. We're going to write the message instructing the kids how to use this stone if they have it.
Okay, cool.
All right.
So Peyton's going to be with you.
Yes.
Doug is going to be using a drone. So I rolled 3 times for him, and all times he got under 15, so he's just going to have a straight up or down D20 roll.
Gentlemen, before we go in, I want to do a dad huddle. Bring it in.
All right, dad
okay.
huddle.
Okay.
Hey guys, I just wanted to say, this could be our last dad huddle for a while. Like, this is it. This is the end zone. Do you know what I mean? To put it in terms that Daryl might understand.
Hell yeah. I hold everybody tighter.
I just want to let you all know, whatever happens in there, whatever goes on from this point forward, It's been an honor getting to know each and every one of you as dads.
Same, buddy.
Same, man.
I feel the same way.
Oh, yeah, Payne, you're in this one.
Of course I'm in this one.
I think we do a hands in the middle doodlers.
Doodlers.
Okay.
3, 2, 1.
Doodlers.
You sneezed on my hand.
All right, I pick up the rock. A robe, gentlemen.
Yeah.
Robes, we're ready. We're ready to talk.
All right, we will meet you on the bridge leading to Castle Ravenloft.
You start walking toward the Castle Ravenloft, where your kids are being held, where the purple robes that have caused so much trouble for you over this past, you know, however many weeks it's been, months it's been. And as you get closer, you also remember that that dragon is still sort of floating in the air, just sort of flapping its wings, a little bit confused.
I kind of tap everybody on the shoulder. I'm like pointing up at the dragon. I'm like, oh yeah, the dragon.
So, shit, we forgot about the dragon.
It's not floating over the bridge, but it's there. So as you guys walk up onto the land bridge connecting the mountain range to the castle, the front door, the portcullis, raises up. And you see the three purple robes for the first time in the flesh, eye to eye. Simultaneously to that, around the back of the castle, Doug is going to try to pilot the drone. So first, the purple robes are going to roll perception with advantage because they have no reason to think this is on the level because you're you. Ooh, first roll is a 2. Second roll is a 14. All right, so now he's going to roll drone stealth. A post.
This is going to be the first ever drone stealth roll in D&D.
Rolled a 14. So,
oh, shit.
So they don't notice. But you see the drone sort of zoom. It's just this little speck of what color DJI drone did you get?
It will actually have some LEDs on it so you know the orientation. So it'll be green for forward and red for back.
Oh,
so
great.
You can see the red side of it.
So you see a green and a red is sort of moving horizontally perpendicular to you, zooming around the back of the castle. The tallest robe kind of cocks its head for a second, and as it sort of turns to look, it's already disappeared behind the castle. You are standing on the precipice of a 1,000-foot drop as howling, biting, cold winds of snow and ice scratch your face and buffet your body.
Your buttocks.
Your buttocks. It buffets your buttocks.
Nice.
It takes not inconsiderable amount of effort to make sure that you stay upright and
not
get... What?
I was like, oh, good. We have to stay upright. I'm nervous.
Yeah. You are definitely in a precarious position. If a really bad stiff wind came, who knows, you might get blown over the side.
Nobody fart.
You basically have a moment to have a 30-second conversation, if you so wish, with the dragon before the purple robes will reach you on the bridge.
Okay, I cast Speak with Animals, and I say, hey, Mr. Dragon, Mrs., Mr., whatever your pronouns are.
My name is Raymond.
Raymond.
Yes.
Raymond the Dragon.
Raymond Dio.
Raymond Dio?
Yes.
I feel like
Ronnie James Dio, man. Fuck yeah. I don't know how I could hear that.
Okay, we only have a little bit of time here, Glenn. Mr. Dragon, we're here to rescue our sons on a mission of noble mercy, and we've come a very long way, and we hope that, you know, you seem like you were cruelly enslaved by these awful robe guys, so we just hope maybe, you know, you can either, like, bow out on this one or, like, maybe be on our side in the clutch.
Okay, roll persuasion.
God, I have to fucking, God damn it. I rolled a 2.
So you say all that and the dragon goes,
no, I'm good.
And then it flies away.
That
works. It just enjoys its freedom and bounces.
Okay, that's better than the alternative, I guess.
Dang, Henry, what'd you say to that cool
dragon, dude?
Don't take
it personally, man. Some dragons just don't.
Guy, I'm just not a very charming person.
So the three purple robes approach you, and you have earbuds and earplugs in, right?
Yeah,
yes.
I put the Walkman earpieces in my ears, and I'm listening to music, but I'm ready to act as if I am not.
So I step forward, I say, Daryl Wilson, I can't say nice to meet you, but I'm glad you could all talk, and I put my hand out.
Let's see, do they want to shake your hand? Yeah, okay, so the medium-sized guy reaches out and shakes your hand.
Can I perceive if it's a hand I've ever shook before?
Go ahead and, if it's a hand you've shaken before?
Or if I can tell anything from the hand.
Go ahead and roll perception.
Especially if it's a hand I've shaken before.
Daryl casts hand sense.
This is 16 plus Daryl's handshake ability, which is plus 20. No.
I got 36.
Perception, so 17?
17. Okay, so with the 17, you can tell that this particular hand you have never shaken before.
Okay. Young, old, calloused.
This hand is a little bit older. It's a little bit wrinkled. And
I'm going to fucking puke right now. I'm so nervous. What is going to happen?
This is not how I saw this happening, but yeah. So yeah, that's what you get from a 17.
So a little older.
The robes presumably start talking. You can't tell because the robes are covering their faces. You can't read their lips.
It's like a little bit of a...
So the other one's shaking.
Their heads are bobbing a little bit.
So the other one's shaking my hands.
No, it was just
okay,
that one.
Okay.
I couldn't if I tried.
No, I understand.
And then...
I hear you.
Roll deception.
Baby, you're not that kind.
Both of you roll deception.
You take the weight off of me.
Roll deception.
I got a 3.
You got a 3?
I got natural 20 plus 6.
I got a 13 plus 0. 13.
I'm just folded arms like...
All right. So immediately, the tallest one walks up to Ron and to Daryl and yanks with one hand Ron's Walkman out of his ears. And then reaches
as they walk
Daryl.
Up to me, I put my hand up like I'm about to sneeze. Like, oh, sorry, excuse me. I missed what you guys were saying. Keep going.
So now you can. Did you also remove?
No,
your
no. Book? That was like me trying to recover. Like I was blocked. I stopped him.
No, you failed so badly. You failed so badly. He's like,
fuck. No, I'm not stupid.
And it reaches over and grabs you by the ears and pulls out your earplugs. And he goes,
there, can you hear me?
Oh, thanks, buddy. I was wondering what was going on.
Glenn Beck, it's the altitude. He gets plugged up a little bit sometimes.
You guys, I know what you're doing.
I appreciate that. What was your name again? Nice to meet you, by the way. I'm Daryl Wilson. Sorry, I couldn't hear you before. I put my hand out.
So here's the thing.
All right.
So Will and I still have our earplugs in.
Yeah. Do you guys want to leave the room?
Actually, you know what we could do? If you guys take off your headphones, I can play white noise through our headphones.
Okay.
Great.
So we won't hear this. I have a little soundboard on this mixer, so I'm just going to turn up the white noise so we will be unable to hear what's going on. And we're just going to go off of the cues of the body language of our fellow podcasters.
I'm so terrified right now. I cannot believe that this is how this is going.
By the way, I say, sorry about that, about my ears clocked. Hey, Payne, why don't you go ahead and head back over there? There's no reason for you to be here anymore. And
it's like, yeah, sure. And he stays right where he is.
Oh, man.
All right, so we're going into white noise mode, Will.
Yep.
Okay.
I want to say for the record that Freddy's white noise is like a laugh track of an audience applauding, which is the most surreal thing to listen to
it's
as this is going on.
It's the only thing that Freddy can like relate to. It's like, I just need that adoration. That's what relaxes me. He goes to sleep to the sound of people applauding him.
We are totally in the blind here now.
You sure you can't hear any of this?
I hear mumbling, but...
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. Cool. Okay. Yeah. So the tallest robe reaches out to you and says,
this can be very, very simple. We will send you back to the moment that you would have, Daryl, driven your kids to the soccer game. But this time, you will instead put them on a bus, which we will be driving. And that will be the last time that you see your children. But you will know several things. Firstly, that your wives will never have to die in horrible agony in a pyramid because they went looking for you in the Forgotten Realms, because you won't be in the Forgotten Realms. And secondly, you will know that your children are being raised happy and healthy by someone far, far more competent at fatherhood than you are. They will live happily, they will be safe, and all we need you to do is go. And if you want to keep this gentlemanly, if you want to keep this fair, that's where it can end. You don't have to know anything else about what's going on, and it's all good.
Okay, but like, what if we also like want our sons?
Yeah, that's not gonna do it.
Hey, our sons have their own agency and have their own decisions. Have you talked to them about this? Because we saw them, they sure don't seem happy. And it's,
they
you know,
really
if my son came to me and said, you know, I want to leave, like, we would talk about it. I would listen. I would hear him out. But, like, it's not really up to us. It's definitely not up to you, sir.
Can I ask, like, what you want with them anyway? Like, I mean, there are other kids out there. And I know a few kids.
We don't need to give up other kids.
After you say all that stuff, Daryl, the tallest robe reaches out to you with its hands, and it goes,
there it is, classic Daryl. You believe that these kids deserve more control over their destinies than they do. The truth of the matter is, and you know this, I know this, your children know this, most importantly, you are bad fathers. You are not taking them down a good road in life. They will be unhappy, or they will be dangerous, or they will give in to their worst temptations. My God, your son alone... There was a light in him that is long since gone, and I believe that is your doing, and I'm sorry to say, I'm not that sorry.
Hey, buddy, are you a parent?
I would like to be the parent of your children.
That's not a thing you don't get to choose
who
you're...
We do, because...
Yeah, if I had a dollar for every time a man said that to me...
Listen, we will raise them, and we will do a better job than you ever could. They will grow up happy and strong. We three will become more than just dads. We will become Omega Daddies. We will be immortal and wise and powerful, empowered by the youth and the love of your children.
What will the kids become?
The kids will become whatever they wish to be. We will have the power to give them anything as Omega Daddies. We can be the dads not just of your children, but of this entire realm. This world needs daddies, and we will be those daddies.
There's nothing greater than being a dad, man.
Yeah.
It just tells you right away that you're not ready to be a parent.
You know what's wild is that we're already daddies, and so if we just sort of like stepped up, so to speak, we would be the Omega Daddies.
Yeah, being a dad is its own... You do what you... Look, it's...
Ron, I do not know how many times I have to tell you that you don't know what you're talking about. To shut the fuck up. You had a chance to make something out of your relationship with Terry Jr. and you didn't.
I think I did, actually.
No, I'm afraid not.
You
decapitated his father in front of him. This entire adventure was meant to elucidate to you a fact that you know deep in your heart to be true. That these kids need better fathers than you four. I'm sorry that that is the case, but we can be those fathers.
Hey, buddy, that's what being a parent is, man. Every day of being a parent is thinking like, you know what? Somebody else is probably a better parent than me. They'll probably be a better parent. That's how you strive to make yourself better.
Exactly.
You don't know what the hell you're doing,
There's
though.
There's always a better parent.
It that's looks our like kid. It's There's getting always heated. A
better parent. And we are those better parents. So,
hey, Ron, what do you think about we should let Glenn and Henry in on this?
So Peyton looks to Henry and Glenn and flicks his ears.
Okay. I unplug my ears. And I go, yes!
And so the tallest one goes,
oh, God, that's very cute. That's cute. So you were told about the nature of the magic and, okay, very...
I mean,
very
not really. Fun. We don't know. All I know is that I just heard a bunch of horse shit coming out of your mouth. So if that's the nature of the magic...
Oh, it got heated.
You are going to answer yes or no to the following question. Will you let us raise your children? In exchange, we will help you leave the Forgotten Realms today. And not only that...
And the shortest one walks up to Glenn and produces a cell phone.
I believe you have a call.
Glenn looks around confused, seeing that it's got heated, and I look to Daryl. I'm like, Daryl, what's going on? Do I need...
The guy said exactly, they think they're going to be better dads than us, and that they are going to become Omega dad. Yeah, and so I explained that, like, being a parent means they're always wondering if you're a terrible parent. That's just what being a parent is. It's freaking hard as hell. And that they're going to become something called Omega Daddies, and it sure sounds like they're going to, like, suck our son's souls or some shit like that so they can be dads for everybody. I don't know. It's a bunch of horse shit from a bunch of people who aren't parents, clearly. And I think we should sock the shit out of these guys once this goes bad. But go ahead. Here, get this
language,
phone call, because these guys are assholes.
Language.
Okay, I'll take the phone.
The phone rings.
Caller ID, nothing?
The caller ID says, the name of your late wife, Morgan Freeman.
I'm staring at this and I'm frozen and I answer and I pull it to my ear.
So you hear the voice of your late wife going,
hey Glenn, I'm on my way home. Do you need me to get anything at the store?
Hey, what year is it?
You got into it early today, huh? Right, you're right back home in 2012, like in Back to the Future. Remember Back to the Future? It's like in Back to the Future when he's like, what year is it? What's up? So yeah, did you need me to get anything? I was just gonna get some stuff.
No, you know what? It's good to hear your voice.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. Are you gonna get all emotional on me again? I'm driving. This is embarrassing. Oh, I see. You're in one of your like introspective weed moods.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
Actually, you know what? Why don't you just call me back?
Are the rogue guys, like, how closely are they watching Glenn take that phone call?
I imagine they're all focused on him pretty well. Yeah.
Are you going to be sneaky rogue?
Yeah. That was my plan.
Reveal one of their faces?
That's a good idea. Yeah, I could just, like, try to pull that robe off.
Yeah, I can
try
to pull one of the robes off one of their faces.
Yeah.
So Glenn is going to look up shaky. His confidence totally gone, color drained from his face, and he goes, what the fuck was that, dude?
Why don't you go ahead and roll?
Yes, as I simultaneously go to rip the, so it's 21.
21?
Yeah.
Wow, okay. So which one are you going for, the medium-sized one, the tall one, or the squat one?
I think I'm going to go for the medium-sized one.
Okay. The tall one steps forward and says,
Glenn, as I told Daryl, you will return to the moment that your child would have went to the soccer game, but instead of getting on Daryl's van, he will get on a bus.
you won't be waving him off alone. You will be waving goodbye to your son, standing next to your wife, Morgan, who will not have died in that car accident all those years ago. We can save her, and you can have the love of your life back in your arms once again. Everybody gets what they want. All of your wives will be safe, and all of your children will be raised by people who know what the fuck they're doing. Now, what say you?
And as he says, what say you, Ron Stampler sneaks behind the medium-sized one and pulls his hood down. And you see someone that you don't recognize at all. This is a face that's completely unfamiliar. This is also the same person that Daryl shook the hand of. But Henry, you are looking into the face of Barry Oak, your father. And as the other two purple robes turn and see that you've unrobed Barry Oak, the tall one goes like,
oh, sorry, I guess we're just doing this. I was going to do it dramatically, but sure, fine.
And he pulls down his hood, revealing the face of Willie Stampler.
Oh, my God.
And the third one pulls his down, the short one, and you see the face of Bill Close. And you are looking at least three of the four of your fathers. They see the look of confusion on your face, and Willie Stampler says,
I see, you're confused. Let me explain. There are many kinds of magic in this world. Death magic, fire magic, truth magic. But when I died, when my soul transferred to this bizarre realm, I learned one truth, that the strongest magic that there is daddy magic.
And as he says that, as that's sinking in, 100 feet in the air, you see the DJI drone come out of the tallest parapet, and you hear faintly over the howling winds,
fuck. Ron turns and in a Christian Bale and the Prestige whisper says, abracadabra.
Dungeons & Daddies is Matt Arnold as Daryl Wilson, Anthony Birch as our DM, Will Campos as Henry Oak, Beth May as Ron Stampler, and myself, Freddie Wong as Glenn Close. Theme song and outro is All Right by Maxon Waller. Thanks this week to Huey Martinez for the name of Glenn's wife, which he established in one of his comics. And incidentally, Morgan Freeman was 100% in the running with a bunch of other famous males with female names, you know, the inverse of Glenn Close. So he managed to see right through our joke. Dang, he predicted it. Also, special thanks this week to our fine Patreon supporters, folks like Marcus Nilsson, Ronan Neumann Hammond, Chris, just Chris, Anthony Perry, John Elk, Chesset Chessex, Derek Haas, Elizabeth Hope, Tim West, and Patrick Kaysen. Those are the names you need to be repeating to yourself every night before you go to bed. Especially Chesset Chessex. A little alliteration there, huh? We have some very cool shirts and hoodies and pins coming very soon. And remember, all patrons get first crack at any and all merch. So help support the show and help yourself to new merch when it comes out in the next month or so by heading over to patreon.com/dungeonsanddads. This episode marks a story turning point as we enter into the next phase of the podcast. So for those of you who have stuck with us over the past year and those of you just joining us, thank you all for listening. And we hope we've entertained you thus far with our dad antics. Our website, dungeonsanddaddies.com. Our Twitter, twitter.com/dungeonsanddads. The private Facebook group is bit.ly/dungeondads, and the subreddit is r/dungeonsanddaddies. Next episode's coming at you March 16th, so we will see you all then.
There was a time when you could read between the lines. You know they never brought you down. Never brought you down.
So we had Nick probably early, so probably like 95, 96, somewhere there.
That's when she died. Okay. Yeah. She goes, it's 1990.
How old is, wait, hold on. How old is Nick?
Yo, hold on. You're
it's
right.
It's 2020, dog.
Okay, sorry.
do like 2012, if she died when Nick was like 3 or 4.
Yeah.
Do 2012.
2012, dang, she never saw VGHS come out.
She was a Kickstarter backer, but never got those rewards.
Oh, God.
Holy shit. Sucking our own.
Please cut that out.
Yeah,
she's in a better place.
Absolutely don't.
No. In heaven, there's season 4 of VGHS.